Right now, I have on the line is the artistic director of, is it Abyssinian Theater Company? And her name is Diane Bridge. Are you there, Diane?
I am. I'm actually the intern artistic director. So I'm in a mentorship situation with Philip Aiken, who is the current artistic director.
Okay. Okay, that's great. Are you looking to take over the position eventually?
I don't think Philip is going anywhere.
Okay. It's good. I'm sure it's a great opportunity, though. I'm sure it is.
Absolutely, yeah.
So let's get into a little bit of... You were having an event, Canonize This, that's going on next month. So let's get a little background on Abyssinian Theater Company, what you do, and what inspired it to come to fruition.
Okay, the Abyssinian Theater Company is Canada's largest professional black theater company. And I approached Philip last year to come on as an intern artistic director so that I could further my own theater career. And with my own personal background being playwriting and directing, I wanted to do something that would help promote playwriting, especially among the black theater community, just simply because we're so underrepresented on the stage. So most people will write for themselves, but what tends to happen in Canadian theater is people write a show, they produce their own show, and then it never gets to see the light of day again, with some very rare exceptions, and that's across the board in theater. So what I wanted to do with Canonize This is just to take a look back at the black theater canon over the last 30 years and find the plays that have really impacted the Canadian theater community. So what we did in the spring, so March, April, was we put out a national call for scripts. The series was originally
called... How was the response for that?
It was really powerful, actually. The series was originally called The Harvest Festival, with the idea being that the older playwrights would have planted the seeds, and then the young, new playwrights that are just coming up now were the harvest that we were reaping. But because there are so few black playwrights in Canada, we found that it would be better to just do a cross section of everyone. So it's been a long process so far. Lots of scripts came in, and I think we have a really good cross section of the last three generations.
Okay, so could you give us an idea? Tell us some of the playwrights that are going to be a part of this.
Okay. Well, we have. What I wanted to do with the series was mainly to pay tribute to the playwrights. So we have people like Debbie Young and Anita Africa, who's going to be reading from either Blood Clot or Bennu, which is a new play that she's working on. Joseph Jomapierre, who is someone who has been around for a few years now, and his work is so incredibly poetic. And he's agreed to participate in this series as well. We also have George Boyd, who's coming in from Montreal to read, and who anyone in Canadian theater knows George's work. He's really a prolific playwright. We have approached a few playwrights who, for scheduling reasons, cannot be there. But what we're planning to do is do short monologues from their pieces to pay tribute to them as well. So on one night, we're actually paying tribute to playwright Lorena Gale, who passed away this past spring. She was a Vancouver, from Montreal, but Vancouver-based playwright and actor. So we've received permission from her family to do sections of her play Angélique, which is about the burning of Montreal.
Oh, yes. We're very familiar with that. Yes, she was a young black woman and was, some say, wrongfully accused and burnt to death, right? Am I correct?
I believe that
tortured.
She was accused of setting fire.
Fire,
to
yes,
Montreal.
That was it, right. Yeah. Setting fire to old Montreal, and she was tortured and killed for that. So that, okay, so we're just giving them a little insight.
Yeah.
That's a great story, because a lot of people just don't know Canadian history and how great and in depth it really is.
And that's something we were looking at too with the series. A lot of black Canadian playwrights, Obsidian gets a lot of submissions in, and there tend to be a lot of plays about the Underground Railroad or the history of coming to Canada as an immigrant. And what we were trying to do with this series was just show that black theater can be much more than that. It can be stories about being here for generations and uplifting and positive stories, or just a take on your experiences that are not always in opposition to. You're not always the other. When you write for yourself, there's just something different that's being said, as opposed to always writing to a white audience.
I like the way you put that very well.
Yeah, because it really has just defined who we are, who you start writing to. So the playwrights that we have coming are, a lot of them are Toronto based, but we've really been trying to get the word out nationally. So my hope is that this series can continue on for the next couple of years, and we can actually expand it to get much more of a cross section of what's happening in the country.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. Wrong mic. So we have all these artists, all these playwrights. So what do you think they bring individually?
I think there are playwrights in this series who write shows that are very popular, very, very, a lot of people want to see them because they speak to a certain experience. We have a woman named Sarah Michelle Brown who is reading from her play First Hand Woman, and that was produced at the Montreal Fringe, I believe it was, a couple of years ago, and then this past summer at the Toronto Fringe Festival, to sold out shows. It got picked up for the Best of the Fringe, and you couldn't get a seat even if you knew the director. I think the director couldn't even get a seat for one night. So looking at plays like that compared to plays that, you know, don't get the same audience but have a tremendous impact on what is being said. Someone like Donna Michelle St. Bernard, who is an up-and-coming playwright, she wrote a play called Gas Girls, and it's about women in Congo who are actually trading themselves for gas or gas money. And I have yet to read this play. I know she's just working on it, and she's planning to do a production this fall. But it'll be really interesting to hear from her voice as well. And then in contrast, you have people like Andrew Moody, who is... I was reading him when I was in university and high school. People like Marcia Johnson, who has been in and around the theater community for a very long time, and who's just recently starting to get recognized as a playwright as well. So we have people who've been around for many, many years and who've served as mentors for people who are just coming up and just starting to write.
So we're telling our audience right now that we are going to interview you and talk more about this next week. So let's just, before we end this interview, let's tell the audience about the three individual days, I believe, of the I believe you have a professional development series. Just
yep.
A little bit highlight that just quickly.
Yeah.
And the 3 days.
So,
and then next week we'll talk more in depth about it.
Okay. So the series runs from October the 21st through to the 23rd, and it's broken up into two parts. The first lunch hour series is called the Professional Development Series, where we are inviting professionals in the theater community to speak to and to offer workshops to participants. So the one day we have Erica Batdorf, who's a choreographer, dancer, physical theater performer in Toronto, and she's going to be giving a workshop on story idea generation and how she works and how she breaks down stories. Sorry about that. That's just my phone.
It's okay.
Another day we have Joanna Falk, who's the literary manager at the Shaw Festival, and she's coming in to give a workshop on three-act structure. So that is something that people don't necessarily know that they're even doing when they're writing, but just to really highlight what the rules of how to write a proper three-act play are. And then once you learn the rules of how to do it, then you can step away and break away from it. But in that workshop, she's also she'll also be giving a short discussion about what other types of structure there are. That three-act structure is very much a Western storytelling model, and that people should explore other models, such as oral tradition and what the components of that are, or a hero's journey, what the components of that structure are about, or dub theater, and what a dub structure looks like when you're writing. So those are the lunch hour series, and they'll be taking place at the Harlem restaurant. And then in the evening, we have the three evenings. We're trying to group the playwrights so that their work is actually finds a common thread. So one evening, we're calling a tribute to Sweet Sweet Music, which are plays that are inspired by hip-hop, jazz, opera, dub, and any other musical forms. So on that evening, we have people like Joseph Jomapierre and Debbie Young and Audrezina Mandiella and Motion, who is a spoken word artist, but she's just getting into writing plays. They're all going to be performing reading on that night. And we're opening this series on Thursday, the 22nd, with... Wednesday, the 21st, we're opening with a tribute, again, to Lorena Gale. So a lot of the plays on that evening will be very popular plays and plays by Sarah Michelle Brown and Marcia Johnson, and Darren Anthony has also agreed to read from Secrets of a Black Boy, which is will just be closing, I think, a couple of weeks before.
We actually interviewed him last week.
So. Oh, okay.
Yes, so they have a little heads up on what that's about.
Yeah.
So, tell our audience where they could get more information about this upcoming event.
Yep.
Go ahead.
Please go to www.obsidian-theater.com. And that's Obsidian spelled obsidian-theater.com. And all the information is on our website.
Okay, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
And I'll speak to you next week.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.